God, thank God we've obeyed God. Thank God this church has kept the main thing the main thing. And I know there's all kinds of places you can go and be religiously entertained, but someone said it so wisely, if you hang around here, you're really serious about God and the Word of God. You got to be, or it doesn't make sense, because Calvary is a real place. I want you to turn to the last chapter of Job, chapter 42. I'm going to give you some word this morning, and I'll be through when I get through. I started this message before I left, and I didn't get finished with it. I preached it last Sunday morning, and I'll tell you, we saw the power of God move in a supernatural way in Miracle Center there in Kampala, Uganda. First time I preached for that church, they were meeting under a shade tree, had about 100 people, and no church, no building, little dinky platform, little linoleum platform, and that's the way it was. Today they have a 10,000 seat auditorium that's paid for, and churches are springing up all over Uganda. Now, here's an interesting thing. Now listen, see, the gospel is many faceted. The gospel is many faceted. On a farm, you'll find cows, you'll find bulls, you'll find chickens, you'll find crops, you'll find a lot of things. That's what makes a farm kind of a farm ranch type of situation. But I'm telling you, the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ is absolutely awesome. It's abundance. It's abundance. The 42nd chapter of Job, Satan was jealous of Job's abundance. Satan is jealous of any abundance you might have. He's jealous of that. And then Job answered the Lord. Well, I was going to 42, but back in the first chapter, you remember Satan came into the presence of the Lord. And God asked him the question, have you considered my servant Job? God was righteously proud of Job. And I've got a word for you. God's righteously proud of every one of you. No, you didn't get that. God is proud of you. And God was so proud that he called Satan's attention. Have you considered my servant Job? And he said, yeah, I've considered him. But just because you've blessed him, you take away certain things from his life and he'll curse God. He'll turn away from God. And you know, sad to say, there's a certain amount of believers that have been blessed and then they hit a rough spot. And then they got mad and offended at God and at a church and ministry and friends and everything. And you know, they're off sucking their thumb in a corner somewhere. Amen. Wondering what went wrong. I tell you, we love God in the good times. We love him in the trying times. We love him uphill. We love him downhill. And it finally reached the point after Satan kept bringing it up. He said, well, you just take away what he's got. And so God said, all right, I'm going to give you certain permission. You can do certain things, but you can't take his life. You cannot take his life. So don't even go there. Don't even think about that. And so Satan went, and of course you know the story in Job chapter 1. And most people know Job chapter 1. Being raised around a church as a church kid, I heard it over and over again. Poor as Job's turkey. They're just poor as Job's turkey. Well, it lets me know all they read was the first chapter of Job. That's all some people have ever read about Job. They really didn't read the first chapter real well, or the second chapter. And they didn't see it for what it was. But you know, there's some things that I want to... Job discovered some things, and I want to share those things with you. Because Job discovered victory in the midst of adversity. And Job's victory discoveries are ours this morning. After all the negativisms and the trials, the tests, the crazy things that Satan brought against him, the Bible tells us that Job was still alive. And even after all of this began, here are some of the discoveries of Job. Write them down. You need them. They'll help you. Job never stopped worshiping God. Job never stopped worshiping God. He never stopped blessing God. When things went wrong, he didn't cuss God or curse God. He blessed the name of the Lord. He blessed the name of the Lord. Now, his theology wasn't altogether correct, because he said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away." God didn't take away nothing from Job. It was the devil that stole. He steals, kills, and destroys. God's not the thief. And God doesn't send sickness to be our teacher. I said, God doesn't send sickness to be our teacher. And there's a lot of wonderful ministries that don't understand that to this very day. But God's a healer. He was a healer in the Old Testament. He's a healer in the New Testament. The Bible said in heaven there's a tree for the healing of the nations. Healing is utmost on God's mind. Utmost. And so when Job faced tragedy, Job worshiped God in Job chapter 1 verse 20. He worshiped God. When things don't go right, just praise God anyhow. Give him all the glory. God's not your problem. Satan is the problem. Job blessed, not cursed, the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's one discovery, that no matter what comes or goes, you bless and you worship and you praise the name of God. Now, after being so blessed, Job discovered that you don't turn from God in the midst of tragedy. Amen. Every day is not the same. I mean, my time in Uganda was just like a glory cloud. Took 2 days to get there, one way or another, 16 hours in the air on to Dubai, and then on over to Entebbe and flying there. So it takes about 2 days, one way or another, to get there. Usually you need to spend a night somewhere, if that's at all possible, on your way. But you know, although every day was such a blessing, it's amazing. You come back home and Satan will try to suck out of you what God poured into you. And that's what happens to a lot of people after Sunday. God pours into them on Sunday morning, and before Monday, Satan has already sucked it out of them. Circumstances, people, well, they said, the letter said, the news said. And you find yourself picking up the crutch of everyday living, and you find yourself back on crutches if you're not careful. The just shall live by faith. Uphill, downhill. Hard times, bad times, good times. We praise God. When you learn to praise God when you're in the rough, you're headed for the better. I can promise you that. Every day is not the same. Every day is not the same. But God is the same. Life is not always fair, but God is. God is always fair. And then we found out that Job made another discovery, that his three friends were his problem, part of his problem. With three friends like that, you need no enemies. And a lot of people haven't discovered who you hang out with is why you've got part of the problems you got. You listen to the wrong people, you get bad advice. You listen to the naysayers, you fill your spirit with that. We need to know what's going on, but you can't just give yourself an un limited diet of negativism, it'll eat you up alive. Amen. Job survived his three friends. And he discovered the fact that you just can't let your friends get you down. I say it, and I know people look at me real strange like, because some of you are going to hang on to your negative friend, and I'm sorry, I can't preach you out of that. I've had to change friends a few times along the way. I wouldn't be where I am today if I couldn't change even some preacher friends along the way. You're quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. Amen. Praise God. You can't listen to negative sources and have positive results. Job also discovered another victory discovery. Job discovered that fear is a costly thief. Remember, he said, "The thing that I feared is come upon me. The thing that I feared is come upon me." You are believing something. So many people say, "Well, I just can't believe all that faith stuff." Well, let's look at what you are believing. You're believing something, whether you admit it or see it or realize it or not. You, every day you are awake, you are believing something. You're either believing the truth or you're believing that which is not the truth. And fear is perverted faith. You're believing something. You're either believing you can make it, or you're believing, "Well, I just don't believe I can do that." Well, you probably won't be able to do that. I don't believe man could walk on the moon. I remember Buddy Harrison, he's going to be with Jesus now, but his grandfather, he thought man walking on the moon was a Hollywood spoof. He never believed that man had walked on the moon. That's impossible. I just don't believe that. He said, "I can't believe that." And so because he can't believe that, he never believed it. Now, I'm into some reality. This is life 101 I'm talking to you about. This is not pie in the sky stuff. This is real stuff. If you're believing something, why not believe the truth? Why not believe the word? Because every word that is spoken by God has the power to bring that word to pass. And remember, God's word is only print on a page until you believe it. If you don't believe it, it stays print on a page. You can carry it, you can kiss it, you can love it, you can embrace it, you can reverence it, you can have an expensive Bible or a cheap Bible, but it won't do anything for you until you believe it. You gotta believe it. I'm telling you something that's a bedrock truth. You've got to take it off the page, digest it into your spirit, and when God's word becomes your word, you're ready to do business in deep waters. Hallelujah. Noah built an ark. "I don't believe I can do it." He wouldn't have done it. Noah built an ark by faith to the saving of his house. He had never built an ark. Can you imagine trying to build a monstrosity like that? Crazy, man. Noah built an ark. And I'll show you one stage at a time how to build it. But if he hadn't started to build it, he would have never built it. He could have sat on a rock the rest of his life and said, "You know, I thought God told me to build something called an ark, but I couldn't visualize it. I couldn't believe it. And so I never did it." You'll never build an ark until you start. The first step to a journey is the first step. I'm deeper than I can get out of this morning. Job discovered that fear is a costly thief. Some people live and die and never do anything great because they're afraid. They're afraid. You remember the man that had the money? And he said, I hid my money because I just knew that you were a... Can you imagine telling God, I knew you were hard to deal with, and I knew you weren't fair, and I knew you'd just give me a... So I hid it. Here it is, Lord. And he said, you evil thing, you. I gave you something to do with so you could do something with it. Hallelujah. Fear is a costly thief. Praise God. Praise God. Also, Job made another victory discovery. He discovered the powerful seeds of good words. The powerful seeds of good words. I'm still rocked on my heels. A man really believed what I said. A broke man really believed what I said. He took me at my word. He saw God in me. He listened to that, and he's done it. And look at this house I'm in now. Look at the backyard. Got a boathouse, got a guest house, got a very expensive home. He set up for life. He listened to what I said. That's strange, isn't it? A man listened to what I said. And he's telling everybody else, if you listen to this man, good things will happen. Well, anyway, you know, it is amazing. It is amazing. It's encouraging. Praise God. Praise God. The powerful seeds of good words. Job chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Your words have put men back on their feet again. Did you ever encounter someone's breath that just knocked you over? When you speak so much, you have to be careful of that. But the Bible said, they said of Job, your words, not your weapon, not your hammer, not your gun, not your bank account, your words. That's my business. That's what I do. That's what God called me to do. Your words, the words that you speak, the word, your words have put men back on their feet again. Whew. That's good preaching, Brother Nichols. Amen. I was talking to Mashada. Mashada encourages me quite a bit. Amen. The powerful words that come from our mouth. Also, another victory discovery. Job discovered that you can pour out your troubled heart to God. God's not mad at you when you open your heart to Him. Just don't sit there and talk unbelief. But I mean, God knows if you had a rough day. He knows if you're facing some difficult situations. You can talk to God like your best friend because He really is. Amen. It's amazing, people that I've helped through some of the most tragic situations in life, and then I needed to talk to someone, and I tried to talk to them, and they didn't want to hear it. That's life, isn't it? Sometimes we all need somebody to talk to, but you better watch who you talk to. Better watch who you talk to. All right. Job discovered that God will receive your troubled heart and He'll strengthen you. He said, my soul is weary of my life, and Thou hast granted me life. Thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. Oh, I didn't think I could make it, but I poured my heart out to you, God, and your visitation, He visited to me. Has God ever visited you? Sure He has. Your visitation has preserved my spirit. One more faith discovery, and then we'll take a turn here real quick. Job discovered God is alive. You know, no matter what happens, you know, at that point it looked like it was all over, but he said, I will see God. And you can count on it. We will see God. We will see God. Most beautiful thing about heaven is not the mansion or the streets of gold or the gates of pearl. Most beautiful thing about heaven is we're going to see Jesus face to face. We're going to see him face to face. Tell the story, saved by grace. Thank God. Well, as Paul Harvey used to say, and now the rest of the story. Now the rest of the story. What happens when you come through a rough time or a challenging time? I mean, if you hold steady, what about that? Well, the rest of the story is, he said in, let's go to the 42nd chapter of Job. Now I know. It's amazing how many times things come up nowadays that in my spirit I can say, now I know. Now I know. Now I understand. Now I have a knowing in that area. Experience is expensive. You remember that. It is experience. But when it's godly experience, when it's faith experience, and you know that you know that you know that you know, you know the rest of the story. God and his word are right about everything. I want to say that one more time. God and his word are right about everything. Right about everything. I thought I'd heard it all. But I heard of some crazy preacher somewhere. I won't even take it any further as far as location. He had a Bible burning Sunday because he didn't agree with some one portion of God's word. Had a Bible burning and then had another translation that they're supposed to all get on. Well, thank God you don't attend an idiot church like that. My Lord. I deserve to be run out of town, tarred and feathered. Amen. God's right about everything. I don't understand everything about God, but God's right about everything. I don't understand everything, but God's right about everything. And another thing that Job discovered in this victory path is that my thought life is my control center. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, whatever mistakes Job made, and I don't know that he handled everything perfectly, but there's one thing he didn't do. He didn't turn from God. He did not turn from God. Amen. My thought life is my control center. Joshua 1:8 and Philippians 4:8. The Bible tells you what to think and how to think so that you can prosper. Now, every airport has a control tower. Every airport has a control tower. I mean, if it's a controlled airfield. And if the control tower says don't land, you're in trouble if you land. You may land, but you'll pay for it. We were flying in on a final in India. I forget the name of the city, but we were on final approach. And that passenger plane did just like a fighter plane. I mean, it went straight up, and some people even had their trays still out. I mean, things and stuff and food and everything went all over that cabin. They should have already had things put up, but they didn't. I mean, like a fighter plane. And people, you know, and we flew, and where we landed when the plane stopped, it was at the end of a short runway out in the country somewhere. It's the craziest thing I ever. It was wild. I don't know how they ever got the plane out of there, but that's their business, not mine. Didn't have to worry about that. But you know, when we flew back into that same airport, I discovered why the pilot did the maneuver he did. The control tower said, don't land. Back up. I mean, fly up. Because a Lufthansa plane had just crashed in front of us. So if we'd landed, there would have been two crashes instead of one. The plane was still on the runway, broken in two. The control tower told our plane, don't land. You know, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to know when to land and when not to land. I mean, no one on that plane could understand. We didn't know the rest of the story until a couple of days later. No one knew anything about anything. They didn't tell us anything. But thank God we didn't land. I never have understood people when a plane has problems, they want your plane to fly regardless of problem. If the plane's got problems, fix the problem and we'll wait for the problem to be fixed. You know, that's just real brilliance there. But godly thoughts and godly words produce a holy boldness in your life. Amen. Job also discovered that God is the God of the double. God is the God of the double. Because the Bible said that Job came out with twice as much as he had before. And that's why some of you need to get a big smile on your face and start rejoicing. You're closer to your double than you've ever been. Hallelujah! You're closer to your double than you've ever been. My, my. And the Bible said that Job had twice as much as he had before. And after all of this experience that Job, I know I'm having to just take bits and pieces here. I don't have time to give a full treatment here. But after Job went through what he went through, some say 1 year, some say 2 years, but it wasn't eternal. You know, Satan will say it. There's no end, but just stamp temporary on whatever you're going through. Just stamp temporary. Amen. His grace is sufficient. Job lived 140 years. Not bad. And the Bible said Job was old and full of days. Old and full of days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a lot of things I could have shared, but God just gave me a nudge and said, give this portion of his word this morning. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I said, thank God, thank God, thank God. No matter what you're going through, stamp it as temporary. Stamp it as temporary. It's not the rest of your life. It's not the rest of your existence. You can handle anything for a while by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Couldn't help but thinking as we ministered last Sunday morning, I concluded that message by leading the people in a chorus they had never heard before. He will never let go my hand. And I sang it and I sang it, I don't know, several times over, handed it to the pastor, and the pastor started singing it. And then they wanted us to get out before all the traffic because it was a very congested area with, you know, several thousand people there. And as our car was going back out to the main road from the church, you could hear the people that were already walking, leaving the service, singing. Our windows were down. He will never let go of my hand. It's a memory I'll never forget. And I want to tell you in this audience today, he loves you. His word is for you, in you, and through you. Get the word off the print. Get it in your heart. Start saying it. Start thinking it. Start believing it. Amen. Let it become reality. Don't just memorize it. But believe it and embrace it. Hallelujah. He will never let go of my hand. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of the word today? Hallelujah. Oh, it's time to praise the Lord. I said it's time to praise the Lord. I said, it's time to praise the Lord. Would you stand with us today? Hallelujah. So good you're in church this morning. So good to see you. Thank you so much for praying for us. And all the sweet, kind birthday cards that you sent to Joy and to me. It helps so much because there is a considerable personal expense in any kind of a trip, of course, like that. It sure was a help there and to keep everything going here at the house. Praise God. Let's thank God for His faithfulness this morning. Let's thank God for His faithfulness. Oh, could I hear your voice? God wants to hear your voice on a Sunday here. Hallelujah. Oh, He will never let go my hand. Oh, He will never let go my hand. Though the storms, they may come, and the winds they may blow, He will never let go my hand. He will never. Trust we'll see you tonight at 6:30, and just wanted to give a personal note this morning. I'm a great granddaddy again this week. Praise God. Little Abigail, 6 pounds what? How many? 6 pounds 1 ounce. And she's cute as a button. Amen. Praise God. I got to hold her and pray over her. And she waited for great-granddaddy to get back from Africa before she came. Oh, He will never let go.